From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
This is a show about board games and card games, and my name's Trent and that's Mark, and I'd like to open with a confession, and that is, Mark, that I think I have a problem.
Uh-oh.
I think I have a serious, serious problem. I'm actually seriously considering spending $100 on a playing mat.
On a what?
That's not a game. That's a surface to play games on.
$100.
It's a piece of non-stick carpet that muffles the sounds of dice on a table. I have a problem.
Yes, you do.
It's a first world problem, and we're here to talk all about it on the Dice Men Cometh tonight. Good evening.
How are you, mate? Are you well? Yeah. And obviously, you're not well. You're thinking about these things too much, I think.
Yes.
It's only money at the end of the day, isn't it? Games. It's what life's all about. It's what we're here to talk about tonight.
If it wasn't a problem, I wouldn't be planning on how to sneak it into the house so my wife doesn't see.
Tonight, we've got another action-packed show for you. As usual, we're going to talk about what we've been playing, but we are going to have a special guest in the studio with us. Our friend Morgan, one of the organisers of Devil Island Con, or DieCon.
This weekend!
Which is this weekend, and our fourth annual Winter Games Fest is part of DieCon. Morgan's also a fully official Magic the Gathering judge, as well as working in our friendly local game store, so she has got all sorts of insight into gaming. We're going to be picking her brain. We're going to talk about Kickstarter. But right now, I can feel it coming.
Yes, we're beginning the show this evening with a song about every gamer's favourite performance-enhancing drug. This is Faith No More with Caffeine. From the magnificent Angel Dust album from sometime in the early 90s, Faith No More, kicking us off tonight on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Live here in Hobart, where we've just experienced this incredible windstorm that's come through and demolished cars and knocked over trees and stuff. But we're still on the air!
We are here.
Talking nerd stuff, board games and card games. But you know, I mean, I'm not...
If things couldn't get any more nerdier, they just did.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have to admit, I'm not really that au fait with Twitter. It's not my thing.
Yeah, look, I haven't been a tweeter. I did try to...
I've never twat. Is that how you say it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I did follow it for a while, and what I found was it was just too much. Like, I had to spend all day reading it. Although it is, you know, it's a concise way to grab things. And, we tweeted a couple of things right here in the studio as we went live.
Because we now have a Twitter account.
Yeah.
At DiceMenCometh.
Surprise, surprise.
Yes, with your capital letters dispersed appropriately through there. And we're just going to tweet, well, just random stuff concerning us. And we're really happy to see that a lot of people have already started following us.
Yeah.
And we're following some other people. And it's not stalking if it's consensual. That's what I'm told. And, sign up, subscribe, follow.
And look, one of the things we decided to do is, because often, you know, you're playing a game and something really funny happens.
Mm, mm.
And you want to share it with the world. What better way to do it than by tweeting? So we're going to be using the hashtag DiceMenQuotes.
Yep, yep.
Hashtag, I'm doing the symbol. Hashtag DiceMenQuotes. When something funny happens in the game. So what we would encourage you out there to do is do the same thing. If something funny happens in a game, share it with us on Twitter.
Someone says something stupid.
Yeah.
You know, and share it with the world.
Yeah, like the other day. What was Georgie saying about she couldn't get two men in a wood hole?
Well, yes, I got the quote slightly wrong, but you can't have two men in your wood hole, according to Georgie, while explaining the rules of Archipelago,
yes.
Which, you know, is one of our favourite games here at the Dice Men Cometh. And Georgie, thank you for that moment of hilarity, which is now christened our Dice Men Quotes.
Hashtag Dice Men Quotes.
Yes. Been playing anything, Mark?
Look, I've been playing a few games, and, you know, finally I got to the table, your table as a matter of fact, the great
My table wasn't too noisy for you, was it? Do I really need this $100 playmat?
I like the sound of dice rolling on tables.
Okay, thank you.
You know? Anyway, your version of Robinson Crusoe, the cooperative game.
Yep.
And of course, we've heard you speak about it a number of times about how difficult it is.
It's very difficult. And we were playing a brand new scenario that we hadn't tackled before.
Yeah.
And it kicked our ass.
So I was really curious to see why this game was so difficult. So before I talk about the game in detail, or in a little bit more detail, why was this game so difficult, Trent?
Because Trent got the rules wrong.
Because Trent thought that the universal slash was equal to the universal ampersand.
What?
So three pelts and four bits of wood instead of three pelts or four bits of wood. You can see there's a big difference there.
Anyone who's played the game will understand. And yes, I got some rules wrong that made it slightly more difficult
slightly.
Than what it had to be. But I've been winning it anyway until I played a game with you. It was only when you started playing that we actually lost one.
Oh, yes. Okay.
What did you think of it anyway?
Look, I really enjoyed it. And I think, you know, the thing about these cooperative games is it has to be hard. Otherwise, it's like, oh, yeah, did that. What now?
Yep.
So it was a challenge. It was tight all the way. We were playing a scenario where we had to rescue a woman from a rock out in the bay.
Jenny!
That's right. And we eventually got the rope to get out to her.
I think we had to build a little raft.
We had to build a little raft, that's right, to go out and rescue her. And then we had to build a bigger raft for all of us to get away.
Mm.
But of course, all Jenny did when we rescued her was lie around and eat, which on an island where food is scarce is not good. We all said we should have just left there and sailed away anyway. But you look, there's lots going on. It's one of those games where, you know, you can take some safe options, but you're just not going to get there. And I feel like that was our mistake right from the start, is that we took safe options right from the start. Probably we could have afforded to be more risk-taking at the start where you've got a little bit more time, but I really want to get it to the table again.
The problem with the taking those risks in Robinson Crusoe, though, and I've explained this mechanic before with the event deck, there's a new event card every turn. If you want to do some more risky actions, though, it puts more events into that deck. So those little benefits that you might get come back to bite you, which is one of my favourite things about the game.
Yeah.
But you've got to strike a balance there.
Although the thing is that in that scenario, there was only eight turns. So no matter how big that deck gets, you're still only going to pull out eight cards.
Yeah, you're saying that now, but you wait until a jaguar comes in and just eats all your food.
Anyway,
and
Robinson Crusoe by
Ignace Trevicek.
Fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to playing it again. What have you been playing?
I played Marvel Dice Masters.
Oh, yes.
In fact, you showed me how to
play. That's right.
We have other friends.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out.
Honest.
But Mark and I did get together to play a couple of games on the weekend. And Marvel Dice Masters seems appropriate to talk about because it's huge.
Yeah, it's gone berserk.
And stores right around the world can't keep enough of this game in stock. It's the new hotness. You basically, it's a card game with dice, special customized dice for that hero with those hero symbols on them, lightning bolts, fists, what have you. You choose a superhero team with an appropriate mix of powers, making sure that I think you've got at least one or two cheap characters that you can get out really quickly, so you can sort of build up to getting the more expensive guys out, like Thor and the Hulk. And you've got your basic action cards, which you throw into the middle, things like throwing cars at each other, stuff like that. And you roll your basic pool of four dice, and depending on what you roll, you use those to buy new dice from the action cards or from your heroes.
Your sidekick dice.
So, thank you. More of those dice go into your pool. You can also choose to field some dice against your opponent and try to, you know, knock them down 20 hit points each.
Yeah, you can play a basic game with 10. You can play a more advanced game. You can decide the points. But, yeah, the full game is 20. And I think a lot of our listeners will know Quarriors.
Mm.
This game is essentially Quarriors with a superhero theme. I won't say pasted on because they have made some changes to it. I think it fits the theme really well. And the fact that you can customize and build your team, Avengers, X-Men, mix them together, bad guys, good guys, I really like that. And I think a lot of people will. I can see why it's so popular.
I didn't love it.
Yeah?
I've only... Look, two games, okay? Mm. And they were both learning games.
Yes.
Because it is a little... I found it a little bit tricky knowing where to move my dice around.
Yeah.
Because it comes with this little... Well, you printed out some...
Yeah, it's a little dinky playmat.
You've got to have a playmat to... And it's not just a sound-muffling playmat. It's an important playmat.
But it didn't cost me $100, that's for sure.
You've got to show... you've got to use it to assign your dice in a certain location to show your opponent what it is that you're actually doing. And... You printed those out on paper because they don't come with the game.
Mm.
And also...
There is a little one in the rule book, but you did see how small that rule book was.
And the game comes with these dice bags that are...
Paper bags.
Basically airline sick bags.
Yes.
And the dice themselves are really badly printed.
Yeah.
How much was the starter deck for this thing?
It's like $25.
It's not a lot, is it?
No. And you get... Is it 50 dice?
And the boosters are, what,
$2?
Only
$2 in
each?
Australia, yeah.
And
yeah.
you get two cards
two
with
cards
those,
and two dice.
And two dice, and the cards are really crappy stock.
Yeah.
And they're bent.
Unfortunately, yeah, with the booster packs, because they're sealed in those sort of foil containers like your magic boosters, it warps the card around the dice.
Now,
yeah.
I don't know if the container fell off the Spirit of Tasmania on its way here or something, and just that particular box got bent up and all of Hobart's buying them from this one bent box. But all the cards I've seen have this little fold in them.
Yeah, it's because that you've basically got a tight card squeezed around two small dice.
And it's because your stock is crap.
Yeah,
your paper stock is not good. But then again, that's how they keep it cheap.
And it's the entry point price is so cheap. You know, for $40, I bought the starter deck and seven boosters.
But then if you want to not play with an airline sick bag, you've got to go out and buy the official Marvel dice bag and the official Marvel play mat.
Of course, I've already been on eBay looking at, there's a huge amount of custom dice bags where people have got art for old style comics, new style comics. So you can buy some nice dice bags for... maybe two for $20 or something like that.
I mean, and I guess it's nice that there is a community around this game. Obviously, I'm wrong because this game is extremely popular. I felt it was cheap and nasty, frankly.
Yeah, look, and I'd be interested to see what you think of Quarriors itself.
Yeah, never played.
Because it was a quite fun game, but you sort of were shuffling these dice around and was a bit abstracted. Whereas I think what they've done with Marvel Dice Masters is they got rid of the a bit of the abstractness by having this superhero theme. There is also a Lord of the Rings version, which is almost exactly the same, that came from Quarriors. So it's Mike Elliott and the team who did Quarriors have done this. Look, as you said, it's selling out in stores all around Australia, all around the world, in fact, super quickly. So I think it is going to go berserk. It is a bit fun. I'm actually looking forward to trying it with my 13-year-old son because he loves the superheroes, and I think it's going to be perfect for him because you can play it in 15, 20 minutes.
That's true. And I will give it a go this weekend at the Hobart Winter Games Fest, part of Devil Island Con.
Yes!
Brought to us by our friendly local game store, Area 52, and Morgan from Area 52 and also from the Edge Radio Show, sealed for your enjoyment, broadcast way past your bedtime on a Sunday evening. Is joining us next to talk about all things nerd, Area 52, and what exactly it takes to be an accredited magic judge.
Fantastic.
That's coming up next on The Dice Man Cometh.
Many Roads by Dappled Cities. Before that, we had North Dakota by Parkett Courts. You're with the Dice Man Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
You
with
said
Trent.
That almost like you knew how to pronounce it. And I'm glad it was you because I had no idea.
No. Trent and Mark, and a special guest in the Edge Radio studio. It is Morgan, who herself is a famous Edge Radio presenter.
Super famous.
But we've got her here because she also knows almost as much as us about gaming.
Perhaps even more.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to go there.
I always dread when we actually get guests into the studio like yourself, Morgan, because it shows us up for being as ignorant.
Subject matter experts,
really,
that's right. How are you going, Morgan? You well?
I'm well, thank you.
And you must be excited, firstly, about this weekend.
Yeah, a little bit hectic running up to it at the moment, but yeah, getting all organised for DICON. It's great.
Yep, so DICON, D-I-C-O-N, Devil Island Con. So what we've done here is we've brought together a bunch of disparate events all under the same roof.
Yes.
Now, not the least of those being our own Hobart Winter Games Fest as a part of the Hobart Games Society, which is over 2 days. All of this happening at the Best Western Hotel. Now, that's upstairs. Downstairs, you guys... with your tournaments now. What have we got? What tournaments are on?
We have pulled about a bazillion things together. So the whole idea of the Devil's Island Con started from, well, we have the core event, which is the Warhammer 40K and Fantasy State Championships.
The States.
And we've been running that for about 10 years, and we decided to build on it this year. So we've got you guys on board. And we've also got card gaming, Star Wars X-Wing, all sorts of things. We've got so much going on.
And for people who haven't seen it, many tournaments on Facebook where people can jump on board and sign up, as well as obviously in-store at Area 52. It's going to be a hive of activity there. What's the most exciting bit that you think that's going to happen this weekend? apart from some famous board game radio celebrities are going to be there playing games all weekend.
Oh, please.
I think the most exciting bit for me is going to be on Sunday night when I get to pack up and go home.
Yeah.
So 10 years of Warhammer tournaments. Now, yes. That just sounds like a sentence in stinky adolescent boy hell to me right now. And let's call it what it is.
What I found is that all gamers have a habit of attributing things to other sets of games that isn't true of themselves.
So how seriously do these guys, and it is mostly guys, take it with their Warhammer and, I mean, the amount of effort and money that goes into collecting and painting these sets, and then they turn up with these enormous plastic boxes? Paint the scene for us.
Well, those guys are going to be in there from 8 o'clock in the morning. Some of them are travelling from interstate. They're coming down. Our guys are going to be up there from about 6 o'clock in the morning getting ready. You know, these guys start working on their armies like 6 months in advance. That's when we have to open sign-ups and we have to get the rules packs out and everything, so the guys are fully studied and everything like that. So,
yeah, because you've got to field an army worth a certain amount of points.
So for those of you who don't know, in Warhammer, different types of troops and vehicles and so on have different points attached. We set a points limit so you can't just rock up with like a billion dudes and
blast
out the field.
Yeah, otherwise it's just the amount of money that you
spend. Yeah, the person with the most money wins. It's a bit like life, really.
Well, it's a bit like Magic the Gathering.
Ah, yes.
Which is a card game, which there's going to be some tournaments happening this weekend. And your experience with Magic goes way back, because you're an accredited Magic judge.
I am a level 2 Magic judge.
Ooh, level 2!
Or what do we call ourselves? Adjudicators of Planeswalker Battles.
Oh my God.
Right.
What does that actually mean?
Title.
Well, basically we're highly trained in customer service. Essentially, we're there because gamers in Magic, just like anything else, are bound to screw something up.
Mm.
We're there to fix that. We're also there to slap people when they cheat. You know, we're there to help people, help the event keep running, make it fun for everyone, and look after things. Basically,
now one of my pet hates is cheating in games, because I figure, what's the point of playing a game if you're going to cheat? So tell us, what's the worst, most blatant case of cheating you've ever come across?
Well, in one of the first large events that I was at, it was a little bit of a deep end situation. It was a tournament on the mainland, and there was a couple of guys playing for a gaming console. And it was the second.
Oh, so
it was the second.
Fair prizing, yeah.
No holds barred.
And it was the second last round of the event, and a guy comes up and says, "Yeah, so this guy just bribed his opponent, and his opponent like was talking to him about it."
Oh, wow!
And that was that means so much paperwork.
Yeah.
Basically, we have to go and kind of like we have to separate them immediately and make sure they don't start talking to each other.
Get
or
their
the spectators
statements down.
Get their statements down. One of them started threatening us with his lawyer, and it's like,
oh my goodness!
You do that
all this over a card game, although.
Well,
it's
you know,
I'd say it's pretty
at
amazing.
At that point, it was over a gaming console, but yeah, like those guys were first and second in the event, so third and fourth ended up winning.
Oh wow!
Because those guys bribed themselves out of the event.
Wow!
We take it very seriously.
You travel interstate to adjudicate these games.
I've traveled internationally to adjudicate these games. Thank you.
Ooh, all right. So
you've been told.
So you went to the States to?
I did. I judged an event in Las Vegas, and then I went and judged in San Diego as well.
We should explain, if anyone isn't aware of just what Magic the Gathering is, very briefly. It's a collectible card game. It's been running since
1994.
Very
good. Okay.
Designed by Richard Garfield, designer of King of Tokyo, but Magic did come first.
Fantastic.
And
game.
It was really the first. It wasn't the first collectible card game, but it was the first that they actually got, I guess, got the model right, where it just went. It didn't go berserk straight away. It was slow build. Mm. But it's been the number one collectible card game pretty much ever since, probably like 96 or something like that.
Roundabout. Yeah. It took them a few editions to start getting off the ground, to start people realizing that these bits of cardboard are actually awesome and worth something.
And now people paying literally hundreds of dollars for some of these cards.
Well, some of the first cards that were released are worth upwards of $10,000 on
Alpha.
Their own.
Alpha edition.
Oh my god!
He's done his research for this one.
Oh no! I actually had some fourth edition cards.
Ah, okay.
And a friend got me into this, and because it's the collectible aspect, I do have the must catch them all gene. What was it called? That thing we had? I was going to say the Geek Fest. No, the big garage sale we had. The Nerd Purge.
The Nerd Purge.
I actually sold all my Magic cards, like 7 big albums of them, for a couple hundred dollars. but hey, it was great. It is something the collector in you can really get into. That
yeah,
for sure.
And Magic, look, it is a great game, and it's one of the only collectible card games that survived the great CCG boom of the late 90s, where there were a dime a dozen. But it's remarkable that people are still playing it 15 years later or more. I've noticed that there's a new Magic core set that's just been released. What does that actually mean? Does that mean that all cards previous to this are now null and void?
No. Well, how Magic works is to keep the game fresh and to keep the collectability aspect going, they release one new core set, which will have quite a few reprints, so things that are just great cards to have in the format, solid cards that you can build a deck around, and then they'll also release one new story block a year. So the one that's just finished is Theros block, which was highly anticipated because it was Greek and Roman themed. Before that, we've had Japanese mythology themed as well. Horror themed was a couple of sets ago as well.
So if I wanted to start collecting, if I wanted to get into this cardboard crack, I could. With a core set, but is it a case? See, this is my problem with the CCGs, and I think a lot of people. I know, Mark, you found this. It is just an arms race. It is just how much money you're prepared to actually spend.
A bunch of friends and I sort of got into it at the same time, and it did become very quickly the person who had the most money and it could buy the most boosters and the good cards quickly became the best.
That's definitely the case for what we call the constructed format. Mm. So where you pre-construct a deck and that's the deck that you play with. Wizards of the Coast, who own the game, they try to combat that by having your Eternal formats, which contain any card that's ever been printed ever.
Right.
And then you've got your...
Limited?
No.
Legacy?
No, it's formats like Standard.
Oh, yeah.
Where it only includes basically the last story block and the newest core set. So to try and get that arms race factor down. I mean, it still happens. Another way is that there's limited formats, and we're running both on the weekend, actually. Mm. So limited is where basically we provide you with sealed product. You do your best to build a deck with that product, and then everyone's on basically a level playing field as far as their deck goes, and then it's just down to play skill.
And just a couple more quick questions about Magic. Mm-hmm. Is it true that people make a living playing this game on the competition circuit?
There are professional Magic players, yes, who get basically paid appearance fees at some of the large events.
And how large are these events? Like, how many players are at some of these events that you've been participating in?
Okay, the biggest event that I've participated in was a small one for the US, which was Grand Prix San Diego, and that was about 1,200 people.
Wow.
And Australia's about to break its first 1,000, which we're really excited about. Yeah, we reckon that GP Sydney will do it. But in GP Paris a few years ago, they had something like 6,000 people, which essentially means two separate events and people were building their decks in the car park.
Well, we're only going to have maybe 100 or so people at DICON this weekend in Hobart. But hey, we're going to make up for it in quality, not quantity. And we'll talk a little bit more about what's happening this weekend at DICON in just a moment.
And no doubt, we've hardly touched on the Warhammer miniatures side of things, but I'm sure we're going to see the Swords of 1,000 Men there this weekend.
Segue to a song from Mark.
There we are, back to the 80s. Some of you might remember Ten Pole Tudor with their Swords of 1,000 Men. I'm sure we're going to see almost that many on the battlefield this weekend. You're on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh, and we're talking to Morgan, who, as well as being an accredited magic judge, works in our local friendly local game store, Area 52. And Morgan, we were just talking in the break. Tell us a little bit how you've seen the, particularly, I guess, the board game scene develop since you worked at Area 52.
Well, I would have to say it's really, I guess, exploded probably in the last 12 months. Mm. And it's funny, we were talking about it at the store the other day,
yeah,
with Betrayal on the House on the Hill. Haven't been able to get our hands on that for ages.
Yeah.
And it's because of freaking Will Wheaton.
So Will Wheaton hosting...
The Will Wheaton effect.
Yeah, his tabletop show online, where basically they sit around watching C or D grade celebrities play a board game. and Betrayal... I mean, anything that's on that has a huge sales spike.
Yeah, and I think it's had a great effect for board games in general. Mm. I mean, you would have thought that with a town like Hobart, we would have reached a saturation point with... I'm sure you guys have talked about Settlers of Catan and Carcassonne. Mm. Your core entry-level drugs,
yeah,
to board gaming. You would have thought with a small town like Hobart, eventually we'd reach saturation point, but we sell about 40 of those every bloody Christmas.
Wow.
It's just, it's nuts. And we're waiting for a point where everyone's got a copy. But...
Well, I guess it's a great sign that of the new people that are coming into the hobby all the time. And it's funny because we've been going about just under 12 months, perhaps.
No, we're an effect, not a cause.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So it all comes to a head this weekend, Devil Island Con, and we've got magic tournaments, we've got Warhammer Fantasy and 40K State Championships. What do you actually win?
Well, Warhammer, you win, I think this year we've got a whole pack of, like, terrain and, you know, just... army building stuff.
Yep, yep.
So trying to keep it as generic as possible because everyone's got their own armies.
Sure,
so
right.
It doesn't do any good to just offer Space Marines if the person who wins is playing.
Win a bit, <Yeah. laughs>
So we try and keep that as generic as possible. We've got in our other events, we're trying to arrange some pretty cool prize pools, like our Vanguard event, because we're actually one of the top stores for Vanguard in the country. They've just been throwing stuff at us. So we've got about $500 worth of stuff just for that one tournament.
Oh, fantastic.
Vanguard, yeah. Another CCG.
Yes, and an anime.
Right, yeah, themed around manga. And Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yes.
Also manga.
Yes.
Yeah, I know these names, but I'm not familiar with these particular games because I was joking about Magic before. I don't really want to spend my disposable income on collectible card games. Because
except for Netrunner, perhaps.
Okay, moving
yes.
on.
Yes.
Also, another collectible card game that's going to be at the a tournament for the first time, I believe, this year. My Little Pony.
Yes, we are hosting the regional championships for Tasmania for My Little Pony.
Back in the days, but we were talking at work today actually about the Wombles. You remember the Wombles?
Oh yes.
Okay, from the 1970s. We're just shooting the breeze at work today, and you know that was back before the internet when some franchises could die a graceful death. It's not possible anymore.
No.
It's not possible.
No, well, there's new generations. You see,
are we expecting bronies? I do hope so.
I'm going to be keeping an eye out, that's for sure.
Believe me, there's bronies in every game. They're like communists.
I don't even know what that means. Mark, are you playing in the X-Wing tournament?
No, I'm not. I just haven't practiced. You know, it's a game, again, like Marvel Dice Masters. I play with my son. You know, it's the models sit up on his shelf. That's where they mostly live for him to look at. It's a great game, but I don't think I could play it on a competitive level because... I just have to think too much.
Mm. Collectible miniatures. Has that been a big seller, X-Wing?
It's an interesting one. Star Wars X-Wing is it has been a good seller, not only because it's a great game, but also because the miniatures themselves are
they're beautiful.
They're beautifully painted. They're great.
Yeah.
Hand-painted by Bangladeshi children in sweatshops. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. No.
None of our hobbies are guilt-free. I try not to think about it. But then you've also got your, you know, all your attack wing games. Like, we've got Star Trek, and then off the back of that, WizKids are doing Dungeons & Dragons attack wing, which everyone thinks is amazing because they get to do the attack wing thing with dragons.
Yeah, yeah. So they've got X-Wing and upstairs in our board game room at the Best Western Hotel, tournaments for Settlers of Catan, the new Monopoly killer, Seven Wonders... Oh, my God.
We know who won't be going in that tournament, won't we, Trent?
You know, I'm tempted. I am tempted to just scope out the competition and see who's in there.
Maybe there's a wooden spoon prize.
I've never won a game.
Clean it up for sure.
Never, ever won a game of Seven Wonders.
Well, you know, no time like the present to break your streak, I suppose.
And look, it's got to happen at a tournament, doesn't it? It's going to be like some 80s movie where, you know, you just drag the line of the lunch. Yes!
It'll be like the end of Mighty Ducks. It'll be great.
Exactly.
No, I think it's actually going to be more like comedic value for the rest of us, actually.
There's a tournament for Survive, Escape from Atlantis, which is a great one for your younger players.
Yeah, it's one of Caroline's favourites.
Oh, she's nuts about that game.
She loves it. Of course, she has three small children at home, so it's great. It's great for the family.
And Ticket to Ride, another fantastic gateway game. For anyone who is curious about just trying one of these games, maybe with the exception of Seven Wonders, because frankly, I don't need more competition. Any of those games I've just named are perfect entry games that you can walk in, learn the rules in sort of 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Seriously, 10 minutes. And just with a little bit of concentration, you can apply yourself and maybe take home a trophy or a prize of some kind.
We do have prizes. Unfortunately, I've been running around for the card game, so I'm slightly detached from the board games.
Vouchers and things like that, I'd imagine.
I really don't know.
That's okay.
We're putting Morgan on the spot now. Yeah. She's got a whole 2-3 days to think of this stuff. On the RPG side, there is the Richard Kennywell Challenge.
Yes, there is.
Richard Kennywell, who's been a guest on this very show, your RPG and D&D expert, he's running a D&D challenge. Can you tell us about that?
Well, he's created and destroyed about 2 dungeons because he decided that they were too much. I believe the plan he settled on is you can essentially randomly roll up yourself a room and eventually you will come up against a boss. The game is over when you defeat a boss. Oh. And we've got a system where, because Rich is a bit mean.
Love you, Richard.
You may die, but it's okay because you can buy additional lives.
That's right. It's $15 to buy into the Kennywell Challenge and then $5 for each additional life. And if you imagine this whole thing as being, you know, the movie Cube?
Yes.
Okay, it's like it's D&D like that.
Yes.
All right, you roll up a random room and let's just see you get through and solve the trap, buddy, because he's got a fiendish mind.
Yeah, this is apparently what happens when you let a sadist do game design.
Yes.
And I think there's going to be some games of Numenera running as well.
Yes. Ethan from Astora is really excited about Numenera.
We were talking about this last week.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, fantastic sounding RPG. All of this happening this weekend at DICON, Devil Island Con, the first one. Morgan, thank you for coming in to tell us about it. And
no
thank
worries.
You to Area52 for working with us, the Hobart Game Society, and Diceman Cometh on our little part in it. Much appreciated.
Yeah, we're really excited. It's going to be a fantastic event. We'll see you there. And anyone who comes down will obviously get a chance to see you, play lots of games, win lots of prizes. It's going to be awesome.
Come visit me.
Tassie Band, Roadkill, Dirty Girls, let's all hear it for sexism on the Dice Men Cometh, Edge Radio 99.3 FM with Trent, Mark and Morgan. Thank you, Morgan, for joining us. And a shout out to some other friends of ours here on the Dice Man Cometh. Tobin Rowalan, who likes trains, I understand.
Oh, yes, he's a big train
games,
man, Toby.
Mate of yours, isn't he?
Yes.
Campbell McPherson Page in Gosford. And Andrew Schwartz, who was more surprised than anyone when she said yes. Thanks, guys, for liking our Facebook page and in case you've missed it, we have a Twitter feed now, at DiceManCometh. And I believe Morgan's already been had her picture tweeted on that account.
Yes, Area 52 have tweeted there saying that she was coming to join us. That's very exciting. You can all get on the tweets. Talk to us there at DiceManCometh.
Is that what you do? Do you get on a tweet?
I don't know. I don't know. All the cool kids say that stuff, you know. Will Wheaton.
No, they don't.
And remember, hit us up with your hashtag DiceManQuotes. For all your funny stuff now, I'm not even going to play the musical intro. Here we are. Going to talk about Kickstarter quickly. So firstly, I just want to report Fragged Empire. Remember, we had Wade Dyer from Fragged Empire with us last time. The funding closed. They were trying to raise $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
They raised almost $115,000.
That is
incredible.
So it's
fantastic. And the great news is, though, if you missed out, it's not too late. If you go to their Kickstarter page, there is a, what's it called, when you can buy it before it comes out?
Pre-order
system. That's the one. There's a pre-order system where you can still get on it even though the Kickstarter's closed. So you haven't missed out on Fragged Empire. Now, we were going to have an interview this week with David Harding, who has a new game on Kickstarter. It's just started funding, called 101, the binary card game.
Yeah, this looks interesting. It's a computer...
Yeah, really. It sort of has that sort of 80s computer vibe, which, of course, twigged for me an old Amiga 500 and Micro B-Man. It's a two-player game where your cards... It looks a little bit to start with, like tic-tac-toe. You've got zeros and ones. But then in a smaller print on these cards, you've got run, enter, if, then, else, and all sort of computer commands. So you're playing against each other. Anyway, in only the first 7 days, it's already raised over $5,000, and it's more than halfway to funding, still about 25 days to run.
It's got that retro geek charm that's really sort of in right now. And we were going to talk to David Harding, but he's not feeling great.
No, he's crook, actually. Yeah. So if you're listening, David, we hope you get better. And look, one of the great things about this game, for only $16, you get a copy of the game shipped free anywhere in the world.
Wow.
Now, obviously, it is an Australian project. But you can get it shipped anywhere in the world, which is fantastic. So for only $16. So get on board 101, the binary card game, and check it out. And hopefully we'll get a chance to speak to David either before that campaign wraps up or after. Now, there's a couple things to speak about. Not much else happening on the Australian Kickstarter scene. I will mention 8 Minute Empire, which was a small game that was Kickstarted, has an expansion called 8 Minute Empire Lost Lands. It is
8.5 minute Empire.
Yeah, that's right.
And listen, probably one of the most incorrectly. It's not 8 minute Empire.
Yeah, it's 20 minute
Empire. Yeah, exactly. 20 to 30 minute Empire.
But it is a good quick game. Anyway, they've got an expansion. It's 20 days to go, so you've got a bit of time for that. You've got a really interesting looking game called Asking for Troubles by Kraken Games. It's a sort of a space themed worker placement pick up and deliver game.
Is it? Asking for tribbles?
No. Well, it's troubles, T-R-O-B-I-L-E-S, but similar themed where these troubles are space parasites.
Right.
It's got fantastic looking components, fantastic looking graphic design. Free shipping to Australia on this Kickstarter. So it's an American Kickstarter, but it's doing free shipping in the US, to Europe, and to Australia.
They're going
to
be losing some money one.
So it's only $42. It's already over 50% funded, over 60% funded, and they're only, again, a few days in, so it's definitely going to get funded.
Wow.
Another interesting game, Wanted the Outlaws, a Western-themed card game, which is 200% funded. Unfortunately, it's one of these games where, you know, the game itself only costs you $36, but to ship it to Australia, it's another $20.
Yeah.
But it does look interesting. A bit of an update maybe on something like Bang. Fidelitas is a 30-minute card game with hidden objectives, backstabbing, set in the Middle Ages. Again, you get it shipped to Australia, $32. It's another one of these breed of, I don't know if micro games is the right word, mini games perhaps, you know, half an hour games, not a lot of components, good looking artwork, probably, you know, that seems to be the theme of the moment at the moment, these mini games. A lot of these Kickstarter games are your mini game and your micro game.
That is a particularly nice bit of artwork that's on that Fidelitas.
Yeah,
it's almost
it
like
really
a
great,
pastoral Middle Ages, almost woodcutty, cartoony kind of look.
Now, before we go, I have to mention Battle of the Electric Vikings. I'm amazed you're not on this one, Trent. It's a card game, wait for it, of making heavy metal song titles
no
and
way!
Lyrics.
Really? Really?
So you've got cards that are all different words, and you're playing them down to the table, sort of like, I guess, Man Bites Dog, where you're making those newspaper headlines.
Battle of the Electric Vikings.
It is Battle of the Electric Vikings, and you're making heavy metal song titles and then lyrics for those songs.
Oh, that doesn't sound like anything
I'd
enjoy
at all. It's about
to
be funded, and in fact, it finishes probably right about now.
No!
Yeah, it's just about to finish. You should get on it, but already it's only $31, including shipping to Australia.
I'm on the studio computer right
it's
now.
It's already shipping. It will be funded, so check it out, Battle of the Electric Vikings. I reckon that's about all I've got as far as Kickstarter. Oh, Tavern Brawl. Tavern Brawl, where you know how adventurers meet in the tavern and go out to an adventure? Well, in this game, they don't even get that far. They fight in the tavern. It's got lots of little standees with all your dwarves and your elves and your magic users and your clerics, and they just get into a bar fight. Again, it looks really interesting. Again, it's a mini game, great graphic design. They are looking like they're going to be funded quite easily, so it's called Tavern Brawl, fantasy bar fight game.
Can I just throw one into your Kickstarter roundup? And it's not actually out yet, but it's on the way. And look, here's how unprepared I am. I can't even tell you the name of the company that's putting it together. Bomb Squad.
Oh.
Bomb Squad picks up where Flashpoint Fire Rescue and Police Precinct have been before in that it's a cooperative game. It's the same artist who's worked on those two games.
Yes.
So you've got three games, different companies, but they kind of like a trilogy almost. Bomb Squad, of course, you're working together to dispose of the bomb.
That sounds really interesting.
To operate a remote-controlled bomb disposal robot and get it out of there. And there's a hostage negotiation role, the demolitions experts, all that kind of thing. I know next to nothing about it aside from what I've just told you, that the artwork's nice and you're disposing of bombs.
That sounds really interesting. We're going to have to keep an eye out for that one.
Yeah, starting on Kickstarter very soon.
Look, just to surprise all our listeners, we've run out of time again. Funny that we've got so much to talk about. There's so much happening in the gaming world at the moment. It's a great time to be a gamer!
And particularly this weekend if you're in Hobart. And hello to Joe and Cam, and I believe they're bringing a guest down, and anyone else who's coming down from interstate for this one. Hobart's gaming scene is a small one in comparison to what you might have in a Sydney or a Melbourne, but we are growing. And we would like to think that if not this year, in future years, people are going to start making the pilgrimage across the pond to get down here. Flights are cheap at this time of year. And, really, the weather ain't that bad.
And look, there's a lot of things to do apart from the gaming. So if you only want to spend one day gaming, one day at Mona or Port Arthur or on the mountain, there's some snow still on the mountain, get down here. It's not too late. It's Wednesday. We don't start till Saturday. Get on and book your flights now. If you're not coming here, give the special code word to the Best Western, Ellison Hawker,
for your discount. Four-star accommodation.
Look, we've got to go. We're going to run out of time, and the recording will cut off, and then the podcast will sound really weird. Remember, at Dice Men Cometh on the Twitters. Hit us up with your hashtag Dice Men quotes.
Do you say Twitters?
I don't know.
All the Twitters.
I don't know. I'm an old man.
Okay.
Anyway, we will see you. Hopefully we'll see some of you on the weekend. We'll see the rest of you next week for our show. We've been Mark and Trent. This is Edge Radio, 99.3 FM, The Diceman Cometh. We're going to leave you with some more great Tassie music. The Charlie Parkers, Switchblade. See you next week. Maybe. Something's gone terribly wrong here. It's okay. See you later.
Clean. Very clean.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.